March Mode is live, the best time of the year. Alex Schroff, Ben Bruss with you. Episode 2 of March Mode as we get closer and closer to my favorite time of the year. March Madness is just a couple of weeks away. Selection Sunday, just a few weeks away. And the Badgers, in their penultimate regular season game, get a win on Senior Day at the Kohl's Center last night, 78-45 over Maryland. Definitely not the story of the game, though. It was an expected big win, but could be a big loss for Wisconsin as Nolan Winter goes down, and that kind of overrides everything else in that game.
Am I supposed to be a Twitter doctor right now in my diagnosis?
No, I don't want you to diagnose it. It didn't look great. You hope the best for him.
So here's the thing. It definitely didn't look great. The biggest thing, and for those listening, Nolan Winter went for an offensive rebound putback, and he did leave the ground like pretty high. So when you see a rebounder jump, this happened to me, not as high up as Nolan Winter, but in practice, I jumped up and I landed directly on a foot. And like that was like a true ankle roll where it like, you know, traditionally you see if your foot's flat, it would just bend and you get that high ankle sprain. His left foot was higher in the air than his right foot that was injured. So when I first watched, I was like, oh no, he's pretty high up. And then when I saw the replay, I was like, all right, that left foot's higher than the right one. So the right ankle wasn't as high as the left. So the impact of it coming down, it could have been more catastrophic if it was the left foot. Now, what I didn't love seeing was it wasn't, like I mentioned, a flat, like hit the ground roll. It kind of like did a 90-degree twist, if that makes sense. Like,
you really are Twitter doctoring right now.
Well, I've rolled my ankle, Strof, like 100 times in my life. So I was trying to see, like, was it clean? It looked funky. I could never just be like, oh, yeah, that was an ankle sprain. Like, you know, hopefully they just, you know, get it up. He didn't come back out. They probably went for x-rays. I don't know. I've been looking. I haven't seen a lot of information on this. This is very under the wrap.
Yeah, the only thing we know, we're recording at 11 a.m. on Thursday the 5th. The only thing we know is after the game, Greg Gard says he thinks they avoided the worst. And that is very vague. That could be anything.
That could be, obviously, avoiding the worst would be they did the x-ray being negative. There's no break. That would be avoiding the worst. Then it is what type of sprain, and is it something he's experienced in the past? How's the swelling? He's going to be living in the training room, and at this point, you just probably don't expect to see him until hopefully the NCAA tournament.
That would be my guess, right?
If he comes back, then they really avoided the worst.
Right, exactly. But I guess let's start with that. I don't want to project how long he'll be out. I don't want to talk timeline. But we know at least Saturday against Purdue and likely into the Big Ten tournament, you're without Nolan Winter. And we talked on episode one, when we get in deep into the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament, we don't expect this rotation to go any deeper than 7. And without Nolan Winter, you're down to 6. So how does a Nolan Winter absence affect what Wisconsin does and what Wisconsin does so well?
I think what the great news is Austin Rapp is finding his role. I think he was lost in who he was supposed to be early in the season. I saw him posting up a lot more, trying to find confidence around the rim. Defensively, it wasn't as great for him as well, but he's letting the game come to him. There was a stretch there against Maryland where, and credit to the Badgers as well, those guards who are getting in the paint, they're getting to 2 feet, and he was in the right corner twice, or right and left corner, and quick release, bam. You know, if you give him space, he's going to knock it down because he has his confidence back. And I saw an article was written talking about like his mindset throughout, you know, what was kind of a disappointing start to a promising transfer portal player for the Badgers. But he always had the ability to shoot. I remember being at Fiserv Forum, not for Villanova, but when they played Oklahoma for an exhibition. And I was impressed by his ability to catch and shoot. Now, some of the shots were very questionable. I think it was one of those things where he was like, I'm out there, you know, I'm starting here, and I'm a highly recruited portal guy, and he was jacking shots. Mm-hmm. And what I've seen is a maturation of this team playing more together. Even looking yesterday, Boyd didn't force the issue as much as we've seen in the past. You know, he played 31 minutes, 4 of 11, not the greatest, but he wasn't 4 of 17 or it would have been like 6 of 17. He didn't shoot 17 shots. Ultimately got to the line 4 times and turned it over once, you know, where that could have been, I'm trying to force the issue for myself. Blackwell was super efficient. He shot 9 shots. He was 6 of 9. So like that, those are things that stick out to me of where this team started and where this team has gone. And the recognition of getting the ball in the players' hands that are having the best game, where it used to just be like, all right, Boyd has it, he's going to go. Blackwell's got it, he's going to go. Carrington comes off the bench, and he's getting to the rim and finishing now because he's utilizing his athletic ability with drawing defenders out towards him at the three-point line. And he's playing phenomenal. So from a Jack Janicki being out standpoint, Braden Carrington, although putting up a zero spot against Oregon, is still averaging like 15, 16 points over his last 5 games.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say it was a good thing, right, that Jack Janicki got hurt, but opportunity creates itself for players. And what players make of that opportunity, he has a ton of experience. He's not going to be fazed by like, oh, I'm a sophomore, this is my like chance to really show what I'm made of. He's been there, done that, so there's a level of confidence that you see from a guy like Braden Carrington coming off the bench, and he's playing that role phenomenally.
So, I mean, you talk about togetherness, you talk about maturation. I don't want to put too much stock into wins over Washington and Maryland, who are near the bottom of the Big Ten, but they were both impressive wins, especially last night against Maryland.
But you can a little bit because you lost to Oregon in a spot where, you know, it was a big-time dud.
But I think togetherness—
And you've lost some duds when you didn't expect to see the dud.
USC is another example of that earlier in this calendar year. But you talk about the togetherness and the maturation, and you mentioned the name Braden Carrington. I'm just so almost blown away by what we've seen out of him. You mentioned the last five, even just the last two. He's made 13 threes the last 2 games. He had 13 points at halftime, was almost 16 with that shot right before the buzzer, right after the buzzer, rather. But another 4-for-8 night from outside for him, 18 points to lead the Badgers. That's a really good piece who could become really dangerous if he can keep up this pace offensively as we approach the tournament, yeah?
Yeah, and also, like, I think his defense and his hustle is underrated. Like, he scraps for rebounds. He, like, makes hustle plays.
Yeah.
And I think that's what actually caught my eye earlier in the Big Ten season. I was like, I really like what he brings. And really, again, just going back to the opportunity that he's been provided, taking full advantage of it. And also, like, when you are able to bring him in, if you're going to spell some bench time for Andrew Rohde, who usually guards the best perimeter defender, which is a strategy that is not the first time I've seen happen in the Wisconsin Badger program. If you have the guy that accepts the role, they'll go out there and they'll chase. And he only shot, he was 1 for 4, but he played 28 minutes, 6 assists, 0 turnovers from Rohde, right? Like, he did everything he was asked to do for what his role is. Didn't force shots, made 1 3. I'm sure he would have liked to make another on senior night, but he plays his, like, again, the definitions of roles being set at this point of the year is what I'm most excited about when I watch this Badger team play. Is you what's Billy House is going to do? He's going to be a big body. Mm-hmm. He's going to rebound. He's going to defend. If you get anything offensively from him, it's a bonus. If you want to mix it up and it's a higher scoring game, you're probably going to throw Rapp in there if it's more up and down. You know, obviously we know what Nolan brings when healthy. You know, he's been a pretty good double-double machine for the most part. Blackwell is playing within the game. And I think I love that because at any point, he can take over in these bigger games that are going to be upcoming in March. Boyd has settled in unbelievably from when I talked to Andy North about what it was like when he first got there.
Yeah.
Right? It's go, 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 go. And it still is go, go, go. But maybe he's found the, as you would say to me, and Bo Ryan used to say to me, his speed limit, which is much faster. Mine was probably a 55-mile-per-hour speed limit. His is still 70.
Right.
And he was going 90 at times, and now he's probably living in the 75 to 80 zone where you're not going to get a ticket from a cop, but you're going to be able to move a little faster and make good decisions.
I like that analogy. That was really well done by you. You're not always a great analogy guy.
No.
I think you landed that one.
I struck that one.
Yeah, I think you landed that
Boom.
One. And he's been really impressive. I think he's got a good shot to first team All-Big Ten, we think, for Boyd? It's going to be borderline.
Because they're going to finish I think, sixth in the Big Ten. It's going to be tough.
Yep,
and there's a lot of really good point guards in this Big Ten conference.
Which is what has made this conference so exciting to watch. We'll talk Big Ten at large in just a moment. But one more thing from senior night before we look at Purdue, the regular season finale coming up on Saturday. I just want to get your opinion on the Isaac Guard shot, because you talk about roles. And this is a guy who, you know, I hate to throw the word nepotism around, but like, he was on that roster as a freshman because his dad's the head coach. It's not because he was this terrific high school player. But he stuck with it.
Well, he was a walk-on, so it's not like he built a scholarship.
Right, I know. But he stuck with it. He stuck with it 4 years. He's grown. He found his role as like a culture guy. And you saw how happy not only his teammates, but as the fan favorite he's become. The student section erupting when he hits that three on Wednesday night.
Right in front of his dad.
Right.
The first thing I thought of when Isaac Guard hit that three in front of his dad was, I know they hugged and I've seen the video when he's coming out, but I want to see the release of the shot with Coach Guard, his dad, standing behind him. And just like, that would be a cool visual for me versus like, you know, like the hug is amazing, but the moment I think is more important to capture.
I remember when he scored his first bucket in the Kohl Center, it was obviously dead minutes a couple of years ago. And Greg,
you have to call that out.
Greg couldn't, no, that wasn't his first. I'm saying, I remember a couple of years ago when he scored his first and Greg couldn't help but smile.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying you have to call out like the dead minutes portion.
I guess that's a fair point by you. Sorry, Isaac.
I know you of all people will probably only played in dead minutes. So don't knock on.
Certainly at the end of my basketball career, that's for sure. But I mean, I'm genuinely bringing this up because I thought it was just such a neat moment, and to see obviously the emotion prior to the game during the senior night presentation. Did you know Isaac when he was like a little rugrat when Greg was assistant coach?
Absolutely. My senior night, Greg Guard's youngest daughter, Peyton, was crying because I was her favorite player.
Nice.
And she was, you know, in elementary school. And now to see both of his daughters and his wife, Michelle, and Greg and Isaac all together on senior night was really special. I remember being at Greg's house. It might have been for a Guarding Against Cancer event. And Isaac was in high school at the time. Guess what he was doing?
Shooting.
Shot with me in the gym that they have, but I had to drag him out there because he was playing Fortnite. So he's just like, you know, like I saw him from when I, in 2014, that'd be 12 years ago. He was a little kid, you know, he's just a kid who was growing up and going to Verona High School. And, you know, what is really impressive is what people do not always understand is walk-ons, whether they're there because they're preferred or they just walk on, the effort that they put in, they ultimately always get better and help the team. Because if they don't, like, they're not going to stay there. Isaac, obviously, you don't hit that three from as deep as it was. If you didn't put in the work over however long he's been with the program, he didn't just, like, sit back. And, of course, he's a very likable guy. We had some fun getting a picture of former Badger walk-on Brett Valentine. Brett and Isaac are like identical in the way they stand, their mannerisms. So we call Isaac Brett Jr. And we got a picture of Brett Valentine and Isaac Guard together when we were at the premiere for the road at night for Howard Moore. So it was really fun to get that in the fantasy football group chat and make fun of Brett, because it's just so funny how they're like identical in height, mannerisms, hair. All of us like love Isaac as well from like former players, because we grew up getting to know him and watching this journey. And the reason why I think about that is there's a really cool photo, and I don't keep any photos of like the Michigan game, because again, all of my stuff that I have in my basement is like the Final Four stuff or like stuff like team focused. There is one really cool still shot of the release that I have of the half court shot against Michigan, where the ball goes through and Bo's arms are in the air. And then if you watch the real time video, Bo puts his arms up and then quickly puts them back down because he's like, I don't show emotion. So that's where it's like, if you could find a picture for the Guard family where it's Isaac shooting, hitting the three, and maybe seeing the smile from his dad, that could be really cool and should be framed right when you walk in the Guard household.
It's That's why I like that we're doing this show, because we get stories like that from Badgers legend, who I will never call him that except on the show, Ben Brust. Purdue is on Saturday. I would imagine no Nolan Winter. We talked about it a little bit on Monday, but does a win or loss really matter in this one? We talk about seeding, obviously. A win over Purdue could certainly help that case.
I think you can only help. You can't hurt. Purdue is more susceptible than ever because of their lack of true size for the first time.
Watch that game against Northwestern.
Yesterday they were struggling against Northwestern, who does compete, and they have been kind of a first-half team, Northwestern. They did get a win off a turnaround the other day, and I'm blanking on their opponent they went against. It's besides the point. They're competitive, and they've gotten better throughout the year. But Purdue came back and won. But Purdue, despite having Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, Trey Kaufman-Wren, C.J. Cox is a good young player who very much just hits those timely corner threes with all the attention that the other three names that I mentioned get. I think you can only help yourself, because you already have Illinois and Michigan on the road. If you add another top 25 road win to the resume, they're currently sitting at a 6. In the projections that I have for the Badgers, a 6 seed, I don't think they can go down from a loss at Purdue, right? And so you win that, you're looking at 5, and then people are going to start worrying about. I kind of love them in a 6 seed. I do. That 6-11 matchup, play a 3 seed, and then in that, if you do get to the second weekend, there could be a lot of chaos, because a 6 beating a 3 would be chaos. Who says the 2 doesn't go down? And then you have an opportunity in that Sweet 16 game. So I love them as a 6 seed, because there is a mental psyche thing of 5-12, because it's so well known. I was on the bad end of 5-12. Now, the 12 seed that you get definitely matters too. In 2013, we ended up playing a Power 5 school, Ole Miss, from the SEC, who won the conference tournament. So they were playing their best ball, won the SEC conference tournament, and you're looking at a Power 5 matchup at the 5-12 game. You know, Miami, Ohio's looking at 11. A lot of these Power 5 teams are usually first four out or last four in, playing in Dayton. Actually, all of them are. And so I don't hate the 5, but 5 might be. I'm curious, because I was thinking about this listening to Evan Cohen talk to Seth Greenberg on Sportsmanlike this morning, and I was like, I wonder what the chaos will be with this big influx of mid-major talent being poached with NIL to these Power 5 schools, right? Is there going to be as much chaos? Are there the big-time players? Because there are going to be some good mid-major players that will ultimately next year also go to the big programs. But this was, I feel like, a very big year of, like, the wildest amount of money was spent in the transfer portal era on those mid-major players. So I guess 5-6, it's much better than that 8-9 with how you see Duke, UConn, and Arizona playing currently, because you wouldn't play Michigan. They probably wouldn't put the Badgers next to Michigan, who they have already played from a bracket standpoint.
But then, are you getting a UConn? Are you getting an Arizona?
And correct. You don't want that. And even at a 7, there's some dangerous 2 seeds. And
Iowa State is one team you do not.
They're falling to a 3 line, so that could be a matchup from a 6-3 standpoint.
Still a team I do not want to see.
Yeah, they haven't played well at the end of Big 12 play, but that's a defensive team that we've talked about in the first March mode that I definitely wouldn't want the Badgers to see, because the Badgers won their first game I guess they almost got to their magic number. They scored 78, so like they got there. As we've seen, when they don't score 70-plus or 75-plus, that gets dangerous, and Iowa State can be efficient offensively enough with their physicality and how good their guards are defensively to match up well against Boyd and Blackwell.
We'll dive into the Big Ten tournament coming up on Monday's show, but we'll wrap this edition of March Mode with Ben Brust. Doing this, I want to do a little exercise. I was texting with a buddy last night, and I'm like, there's really only like 6 teams I'm totally sold on in the men's side. I'm not going to tell you who they are yet. But I'm curious, if I asked you for an absolute lock for the Final Four, this can be any team. It could be, it could be an Arizona. It could be a Michigan. It could be a UConn. It can be, I know you're not sold on Duke, but it could be a Duke. If there's one team that you were absolutely sold on as a Final Four team at this point, who would that be?
LJ Kaysen tearing his ACL for Michigan hurts. They're still deep. I think they're going to be fine, but it is a loss nonetheless. Florida's playing the best basketball of any team in the country right now. Mm-hmm. I gave Duke a lot of crap. They do have a ton of neutral site wins early in the season, but again, it is the ACC in which Virginia was the second best team, and I seeing Miami and Clemson and SMU and UNC, the ACC is no good. And yeah, so
analytically, they're awesome. But
yes,
the competition, right?
Yeah, but they had great competition in the non-con.
Right.
So what's it look like when they get against a different team after just playing all those ACC teams as they will in the ACC tournament? It's Florida right now for me. They're playing the best basketball. Michigan's a close second. Then probably Duke, Arizona, UConn, those would be the five in order there.
Yeah, Thomas Haw, Alex Conda. I mean, that team is stacked, and Todd Golden is an unbelievable coach and looking to go back-to-back as Florida. I agree with you on Florida. I think they're playing some of their best ball.
They had to learn how to figure out their identity, having three guards go to the NBA. Yeah. They're now more of a heavy front court focused team, but now they're clicking on all cylinders.
The team I really like, but there's one part of their game that scares me, is Arizona. They're so good. They're big. They're deep.
Yeah.
They can't shoot the three.
No, they can bring in Del Orso off the bench, who's been a long-term player there who started and now got moved to the bench because of their talent. But, you know, I agree, but I do love their center. Their center is very talented. He can pass. He can score. Jaden Bradley's been there for 18 years,
it feels like he's been there forever.
I guess, is Tommy Lloyd gonna break through? Arizona hasn't been able to break through in a long time.
I know they haven't been able,
but they've been knocking on the door.
And you were a part of some of those games.
Just one.
One. But regardless, I mean, that's a team where I look at them, I go, they have all, it seems like they have everything except the 3-point shooting. Okay, I want to go a little bit outside the box. They can be ranked, but is there a team that you look at?
Yeah, I got it.
Go. Who's maybe under the radar that you think could be a Final Four team?
Arkansas. Acuff is an absolute stud. Their big man, number 7, is a freak athletically. Mm-hmm. Cal in the tournament has had his downs recently, but I think they can play against anybody because they're so damn athletic, and Acuff is so freaking skilled. I just, from a matchup standpoint, I would not want to play them at all.
Yeah.
If they're a 5 and they beat a 4, they could absolutely beat a 1 in the Sweet 16. Yeah. That's a team that I would put as my sleeper.
I really like that pick, and they can score, man. I mean, they can
absolutely. They're so athletic.
They're quick. They're athletic.
Now, they've been much better at home, but neutral site.
I mean, we just saw
dependent.
Them on Saturday. They got absolutely wrecked by Florida.
Totally get that.
But again,
yeah, totally.
We're talking about Florida's the best team in the country.
And again, it's all matchup based. Yeah. And Florida, again, is big, so able to neutralize some of that athleticism.
And I'm not sure if you had the privilege of watching that double overtime game against Alabama a couple weeks ago. But
oh, I did.
They lost, but that was just one of the best college basketball games of the season anywhere in the country. So. Despite being on the losing end of that one, they're a fun team.
Crap ton in the second half.
Yeah, he finished with 49 points in that game.
Yeah,
49 in a college game.
It's good.
Double over.
Good.
But I like that pick from Ben Brust. All right, Big Ten tournament's coming. We've got one Big Ten game left coming up on Saturday. We are back with you Monday here on March Mode to break down the Big Ten tournament. As Ben said on episode 1, if you have questions as we get ready for the Big Ten tournament, Ben Brust will answer those for you. Make sure you drop them in the comments here on YouTube, ESPN Madison, and ESPN Milwaukee. You like the Badgers in an upset on Saturday?
Without Nolan Winter, I think that's going to be a... Mackey's susceptible to losing Purdue's susceptible to losing at Mackey for the first time in a long time. They lost a couple games there. I'm not going to count them out.
Yeah.
They rise up to the competition.
I was going
to
say they've done it all
due
year.
Due for a double Boyd Blackwell big game after all the attention to be put on Carrington.
They might combine for 49, and that would be really good for them. Really good. All right, we're back with you Monday. We'll talk to you then on March Mode. It's almost time.